We continue this morning in our study in the book of Romans. We've been in a series now for about 5 months, and this morning I want to come back to the chapter that I spoke from last week. And Romans is a powerful book about how we live for God. It's a powerful book about faith. The just shall live by faith. It's a powerful book about the power of the blood and the cross and Jesus' death on the cross for us. There's so many things about the book of Romans that helps to draw us to the meaning of what it is to be a Christian and to live for God. Last week we read the first two verses of chapter 3 and we focused on what it meant to be the living sacrifice that God calls us to. That's quite a term, that's quite an expression, but we're told in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, to offer yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is one way that we worship. This is our spiritual act of worship, is how we live 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. God calls us to constantly live in that relationship of seeking Him and hungry for Him and everything in our lives belonging to Him. It's not just that when we have a big problem, we're to bring it to God, but every day to bring everything that we are to God and say, God, make it holy, make it pure, make it what You want it to be. Make my words, make my attitude, make my relationships all that You want them to be. That's what being a living sacrifice is. And Romans chapter 12 and other places in Romans remind us of how important it is, that daily walk, that daily commitment, that hourly decision that we make in order to seek the heart of God in our lives. God wants that connection with us. He cares deeply about that relationship. God is a relational God. It's not a static, stays the same. He doesn't just kind of sit on this bench up in heaven and have His arms folded and just watching us to see what we do. He loves us. He's in relationship, but He wants to speak to us and guide us, and He wants to hear from us, and He wants to prompt us with His Holy Spirit. Romans reminds me of that living, active relationship that God desires for each one of us. He wants us to be connected. And Romans chapter 12 has called us to that, especially in that area of the living relationship. Well, I want to read on in Romans chapter 12 to another area of connectedness that is as important to the heart of God. Not only does God care deeply about our connection to Him and living every day, but God also cares deeply about our connection to each other. You really can't overemphasize what the New Testament says about the importance of the body of Christ and the church. God cares deeply about that. He cares deeply about our relationships with each other and our attitudes toward each other. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 3 through 10, and then I'm going to read several other scriptures from the pen of Paul and from the letters, the epistles of Paul, and what he says about the importance of the body of Christ and relationships that we have with one another. That's very important to the heart of God. And so reading from Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 3 and reading through verse 10, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with a measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." The body of Christ is very important to the heart of God. Jesus said that He came and gave Himself for the body. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. In the New Testament, we have a picture of the body of Christ that different artists and painters have tried to portray, and somehow they come out something like this for some of them, and that is the picture of however we picture Jesus, whether we picture Him with long hair or short hair, or whether we picture Him as tall or not so tall. However you picture Jesus, the New Testament gives us a picture that it's His people, His children, the ecclesia, the church, that represents His body here on earth. We know that the church is loved by Christ, and we also know that the unity of the church is very important to the heart of God. The unity and the strength and the purpose we know are important for many reasons. One of the biggest reasons is its witness and influence. When the body of Christ is what God wants it to be, it will have a powerful influence in a world around us that's separated from God. When people see in the church a genuineness and a real transformation of heart and spirit and priority and love, they're attracted to it. And in the same way, when the world sees in the church division or self-centeredness or anything that they know is not what it should be, then they're turned away from the church. We've all heard of people in our community and probably in the history of the church and young people today. Maybe you've heard interviews, and what do people that are on the outside feel about the church? For some, it's not very positive, because some of them have been hurt by the church and they've seen a lack of genuine love in the church and that sense of unity that is so important to the heart of God. Well, the New Testament says a lot about that unity and how important it is and how you see the church and the people around you is very important. How you view other Christians is very important. How you view other Christians in other churches and other denominations and other groups of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ but are different from you is important. And how you see the person today around you, in front of you and behind you and around you is important also. All those are important to your witness and influence. Paul wrote a great deal about the church. I guess it would make sense that Paul would do that because Paul, everywhere he went, Paul was in new churches. He planted churches. He preached and churches started, and he wrote letters to them. He heard about their challenges. He knew where they had problems. And so Paul, as much as anybody else that we know of, wrote a great deal about the meaning of the body and how important the church is to God. He wrote particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 about the importance of the body. Now you are the body of Christ and each of you is a part of it, he wrote in that chapter. You are the body of Christ. Remember, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Of all the churches that Paul would write this to, Corinth was probably the church that we see from the context had a lot of problems. They had a problem with unity. They had a problem with getting along with each other. They had a problem with judging each other. They had a lot of problems. And so Paul seems to write the most to that church. He says, you are the body of Christ. It's like I think he kind of said to him, wake up. Don't you realize who you are in Jesus? Don't you realize how important the faith that you have in Jesus, how important that is to connect you as the body of Christ? And each of you are a part of it. And listen to what else he says. If you want to flip through to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, invite you to do that. I mean, the whole chapter pretty much and the next chapter is all about relationships and how we see people, the attitude that we have toward other people. Look at verse 12. It says, the body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts and though all its parts are many, they form one body. Then if you want to go down to verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, then where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And look at verse 18. To me, it's one of the most powerful verses about the body of Christ. It says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. You see, God's design is on the church. God's design is on every person who turns to Him in faith. We don't turn to God in faith because we're perfect people. We don't turn to faith in God because everything about us will be perfectly straightened out. We're human. We have human tendencies and human problems. But God takes us that way. And He's arranged us in the church that way. And He loves the church that way. And He wants to redeem the church and purify the church and make the church strong in His witness. See, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. The body of Christ is a supernatural phenomena. It is something spiritual. It is something from the heart of God. It's not man's creation. The church is not man's creation. How we live out the church and how we arrange the church is how we do it. That's human. But the church itself is from the very heart of God, and it's important to God, and it should be important to us. We should do everything that we can in order to live together in harmony with God's people. We should do everything that we can to care for one another and to love one another. You may remember that this letter is to the church at Corinth. When I think of the book of 1 Corinthians, the first thing that comes to my mind and my heart is the 13th chapter, the love chapter. It certainly is the one that we probably have memorized the most. And we think of all those deep and powerful and beautiful things that Paul writes about loving. And they are neat. Man, they're precious for marriage, they're precious for families, they're precious for relationships. But you realize that comes right after chapter 12 when Paul's talking about the church. Everything we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, the context itself is about the church. It's about how we see each other. It's about how we love each other and the unity. The whole chapter is in the context of the church. We are important to each other in the heart of God. Look closer back in Romans chapter 12 to verse 5. Chapter 12 verse 5 says this. So in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs. Look at this. Each member belongs to all the others. This isn't me. This isn't my words. This isn't some human that wrote this. This is the heart of God. Each member belongs to all the others. Do you know that somehow, in some way, I belong to you in the body of Christ? Rosella Predix, I'm going to pick on you. There's something about me that belongs to you spiritually. There's a kinship. There's an encouragement. There's a part of me that should give you something as a Christian. And that goes for every person here. That's the connectedness of the body of Christ. That we are connected and care and love for each other and care deeply about each one of us. The whole chapter is that way. In an age of individualism, we do live in the age of individualism. You know, we kind of have our own independence and what we want and what we like, and we kind of go to our own places and we kind of come together and then we go back. And, you know, we have to be careful that that individualism doesn't keep us from that spiritual sense that we belong to each other in the eyes of Jesus. You belong to one another. We belong to each other. It's a sense of belonging and being a family and caring for each other. That's how God wants us to live out the faith. That's how love is lived out, in the connection of belonging to each other. Each member belongs to all the others. So if you're a Christian today, it's not like you can say, well, that's good for most people. That's not true. Well, that's true for every Christian who's a genuine disciple of Jesus. And each member belongs to all the others. Verse 9 says, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Being devoted means that you're important to me. I care about you. Whether you're doing well or you're not, whether you're like me or not, I care about you. Just as being a living sacrifice is important in our relationship to God, that commitment to brotherly love and devotedness is important in the body of Christ. And so God gives us some important principles to live by, some important words to remember about the body of Christ and how important it is. Let me mention some words. Number one is, we're told in this scripture and others how we need each other. dependence, interdependence. That's God's, the eye and the ear. I mean, his point here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, we need each other. No matter who we are, we need, there's something spiritual about it. I don't know that I can really explain exactly what and why, but the truth is God's Word is clear. We need each other. I need you. Even though I might not think like you do all the time, there's something spiritually about it that's important in the body of Christ. And it's important how we see that. If we see ourselves as being kind of an island to ourselves, then there's not the spiritual unity and connectedness that God desires for the church and the body of Christ. We need each other. The eye and the ear. We need balance. We also know that we're to accept each other for who we are. That means accepting people sometimes that aren't like us. It's not our job to straighten people out or judge them or decide who's got it and who doesn't. It's our job to love people and encourage them. It's our job to pray for one another and reach out in whatever way God gives us the opportunity and the privilege to help them. It's not our job to decide who's got it all together and who doesn't and who's messed up and who's not. God doesn't call us to be fruit inspectors. God calls us to be encouragers. In fact, He says a lot more about that than He does anything about examining other people's lives and deciding whether they're worthy of our love and attention and patience and kindness, as Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. To love and encourage, that's what God calls us to do. God calls us not to give up, not to keep any record of wrongs, not to be bitter, not to be jealous. There's a lot of things we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in relationship. God calls us to love people. We're to love them and care for them. We're to accept people. In fact, chapter 14, and I focused on part of this chapter a few weeks ago, verse 1 says, accept them whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. God wants there to be an acceptance in the body of Christ. That doesn't mean that we approve of things that God does not approve of. It doesn't mean that we ever say, yes, we think it's okay if they're doing something that they should not be doing. There's an accountability in the body of Christ. But God calls us to be an encourager in the body of Christ and to love and to reach out to other people. We are to care deeply for them. We're to value each other. We're to recognize that we're different. We're not all the eye. We're not all the ear. But that doesn't keep us from caring deeply for one another. Paul also reminds us that we're to honor each other. This is kind of the verse and the word and the term that's kind of been close to my mind and my heart this week as I've been thinking about that, this call to honor one another. In fact, he says it like this in verse 10. He says, honor one another above yourselves. Man, how do you do that? How in the church do we live this out? I mean, I'm not going to give you an answer this morning. I'll give you a question to wrestle with and search God's heart and say, God, what do you say to me about this? But ask God, what does He mean in your heart and life about this verse? Honor one another above yourself. What does that mean for you? How are you going to honor that person across the aisle from you above yourself? The person beside you, the person behind you. What is it God wants in your attitude and spirit that's pleasing to Him? There's something about an unselfish spirit that's important to the heart of God. There's something about unselfishness that God wants in the lives of His people. I mean, wow, what does that mean for me and for this church? I don't have the answer for you, and I'm trying to find it for me, but I just ask you to wrestle with this verse maybe this afternoon. Write it down if you want to, or circle it in your Bible, or write it on something. And today when you get home and you have some time, sit down before your Bible and open up and say, God, what do you say to me about this? How can I honor other people above myself? And what do you mean by this? I know one thing about it. It calls for a deep level of unselfishness. And that's what God calls us to as Christians and believers, a deep sense of unselfishness. Elevating God and others above my own opinions, my own desires, my own wants, my own needs, my own perspective. It's saying, God, no matter what I feel and I think and I need to somehow value other people too. That calls for a deep humility. A deep humility. A spirit of humility is at the core of a Christian's heart who loves God. A sense of humility before Him. Humility may be the most important characteristic of a genuine disciple of Christ. I've read this quote somewhere. I don't know who it came from, but it was very close to this. Humility may be the most important characteristic of a genuine Christian disciple? A heart that's humble before God, who's teachable. A heart who says, who doesn't say, I already know everything. It's more like, God, you teach me today, on this very day, what you want to say to my heart and my life. You know, if the church is full of people like that, the world will know we are Christians by our love. God calls us to that spirit of humility. It is the beginning point, the beginning place of being right with God and the body of Christ. Look at verse 3 again. Paul writes, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." Wow, there's another one to spend this afternoon thinking about. How do you see yourself before God? How do you see yourself in the body of Christ? Paul says, be careful you don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, sometimes we can feel pretty strongly about a whole lot of things. And sometimes when we feel real strongly, it's really more about our self-centeredness than it is really about God's Spirit. So Paul reminds us to always carry that sober judgment into your life and into your relationships and into the body of Christ. It's all about Him. It's not about us. You know, the middle letter in the word pride, I'm sure you've heard that too. What's the letter? It's I. I. And while we're at it, the middle letter of the word sin, what is it? It's I. It's me. It's what I want. But, you know, genuine Christianity is not that at all. It's all about Jesus. It's all about being like Him and saying, God, make me what You want me to be. And there's so many scriptures that say this. I'm going to name two more this morning and then we'll be finished. James chapter 4 verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up." God calls us to a spirit of humility in all that we do. One more this morning. This comes from Philippians chapter 2. You might recognize this chapter as what some commentators have called it, the emptying out passage of Jesus. And it describes how Jesus laid down the glory of heaven and came to be among us, gave His life for us. The suffering servant, and this scripture comes from chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of vain selfish ambition or vain deceit, but in humility." And then listen what it says here, "Consider others better than yourselves." There we go again. Consider others better than ourselves? Whew. That's just not the way we kind of naturally think. But we're reminded and consider others as better. And then he goes on to say, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Again, it's all about unselfishness. It's about honoring other people. It's about realizing how important our attitude is to other people. God calls us to have that unselfishness. The body of Christ is stronger when we honor one another above ourselves. When we honor one another, we care deeply about them, no matter what we are and what we want. It's about other people. That's the kind of Jesus that's described in Philippians chapter 2 as laying down His life for us. And then, you remember verse 6 in that passage also says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That follows right here. Man, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You want to know what God wants from us? He wants us to be like Jesus. And what was Jesus like? He gave it all. He loved. He was unselfish. He cared deeply about people. He cared deeply about them and He gave His life for us. That's a lot to be thankful for. The challenge this morning is, do we want to be like Jesus? Do we want to have the attitude and the spirit of the body of Christ that God wants us to have? I want to invite you to stand and get to pray this morning in closing prayer. And pray that God would speak to our hearts and our spirits about people, about how we see people, how we see the church, and make us an effective, strong church for Him. There are all kinds of people out there that need to see a genuine church. I'm afraid they see the negative too much in the church. They see people who claim to be Christians, sometimes negatively talking about other people, criticizing their church and people, sometimes. All about me. And they wonder, they think I want to be like that? It hurts when I talk to people like that. Because sometimes I know they're right. Lord, help us in the church. We ought to be the most joyful people out there. We ought to have the most to praise God for. We ought to be the greatest encouragers out there. That's what a real body of Christ is. Lord, help us. Help us to be that, God. Help us to love You and to help other people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love for the church. We know that You gave Yourself for it and You love it so much and You wash it and cleanse it. And thankful for Your Holy Spirit, God. Thankful for Your Holy Spirit that breathes life into Your people. Help us, God, to raise the sails, to catch the Spirit and catch Your direction and Your guidance and Your love. And help us, God, in every area that our mind and our attitude and our heart would be what You want it to be. Help us to be the influence, God, that You want us to. Help us to love people like You did. Help us to see people like You did. Help us to have compassion and patience and kindness and, Lord, words that affirm and build up, not words that tear down or discourage, God. Help us to love people like You do. Help us when we fail, God. Help us when we realize that maybe we haven't lived up, or on a bad day that we have, that we would slip into that spirit that would not be pleasing to You. God, help us to hear Your Holy Spirit, to nudge us back and to call us back into that attitude and spirit that's pleasing to You, I pray. Thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for Romans. Thank You for Romans chapter 12. Apply it to our hearts, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.